Hi, I'm Chris Ann Hall, constitutional attorney, and today's episode of The Chris Ann Hall Show is going to have for you three sections, three topics. So if you want to scroll through and get to the first, second, or third, that's entirely up to you. Obviously, I believe that the entire show is essential information to the proper role of government and the information that we need to really be the solution instead of part of the problem. Our section one is going to be talking about our new Speaker of the House. What do we think about him? And specifically, what did he say about America being a democracy? Our second section is a video from California of a homeowner whose house is being raided. I would say raided. The California government would say searched, based on his registration of a firearm. Our third section is a very important section, and it is about the FBI and their manipulation of social media. What exactly did Christopher Wray tell us in the recent Senate hearing that all of the senators missed? Stick with us. We're going to dive into these things, and you are going to be the most educated person in the room. Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Chris Ann Hall here, KrisAnneHall.com, where we are liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Let's get started. Thank you, everybody, for joining me today. I want to first front load and tell you that what I have for you, three topics for today's show, could be three individual shows. But because we don't have the opportunity to be in front of the camera with you as much as we used to, I'm going to put them in this show and I'm going to give you nutshells, okay? Just the core, the gist of what you need to know so that you can be better informed about these issues. Obviously, as I would want you to know, each and every one of these issues that we are going to talk about today is readily available for instruction in detail at libertyfirstsociety.com. Libertyfirstsociety.com is our online constitution, American government, civics, history website that gives you the training that you need from a personal perspective. Do it at your own pace. Learn as you like, in the order that you like, with the knowledge of the guarantee that you will not get education like this anywhere else. We are the premier online Constitution American history education system when it talks about truth in constitutional application. Because you see, we don't go to the Supreme Court. We don't go to politicians and pundits, and we don't reference history books. We reference the books of history, right? The ones that they actually wrote themselves. Nobody else does that for you. Anything, any program that gives you post-1830 education must be taken with a grain of salt. We guarantee you everything is original intent, is original source documents, so that you can know what was actually meant when our constitutional republic was created. Which is a great segue into our first segment, because our first segment has to do with the prospect of America not being a democracy. Why does this come up? Now, this comes up every now and again, and it's coming up again. So I want you to be well informed, because so many times over the last 13 plus years, I've heard people speak and talk and retort, America is not a democracy. And then they follow up with some response that's either so generic nobody even knows what it means, or repeating what somebody else says so the speaker themselves doesn't know what it means, or even worse, an error. America's not a democracy. She's a democratic republic. America's not a democracy. She's an elected republic. America's not a democracy. She's a constitutional democratic. Any of these variations on the theme will give you error. And what's very interesting to me is that the truth is very simple to explain. Now, how did this come up to me? Well, CNN recently published an article just yesterday about the new House Speaker Mike Johnson, and how his perspective on America not being a democracy should educate us on who he is. Now, you're going to see a lot of these things coming back on Mike Johnson. What you have to understand is that if we don't understand the core truth behind the argument, we're going to get pulled in 27 different directions, and we could end up making wrong conclusions. So CNN says, it might surprise you to learn that the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, has said, quote, "We don't live in a democracy." Merriam-Webster's definition of democracy is government by the people, especially rule of the majority. Now, what's very interesting is the application of that term, democracy, actually specifies its meaning. So you can have democracy in its generalized terms, as Merriam-Webster says. But when you start applying the term democracy in context, that's where it gets its real meaning. And so that's where those who do not understand the foundation of our Constitution, how it's written, what it means, who we really are, if we're not a democracy, or those that actually believe we are a democracy, they take that generalized application of the term democracy, and then they run off into the weeds with the thing. Listen to this. That's the way Merriam-Webster's definition of democracy is government by the people, especially rule of the majority. CNN's author then says, that's the way most Americans experience elections. The person with the most vote wins. It's true in every race except the president. And then parenthetically, thanks Electoral College, which is a completely different subject. So we're not even going to get into that right now. From mayor to senator to governor. And since the nation's founding, voting rights have steadily expanded. So what is the problem with calling America a democracy if we vote for people with majority rule? Well, here's the problem, because CNN continues and says, but majority rule seems to be a problem for Johnson. He describes it in the past as, quote, two wolves and a sheep deciding what's for dinner. Parenthetically, CNN remarks, a quote often misattributed to Benjamin Franklin. Instead, Johnson has said that the founders set up America as a constitutional republic because they followed a biblical admonition. Now, there's a big chunk of stuff to be digging out in there, okay? A huge chunk of stuff. What we have to understand is the application of that word democracy in context. Johnson's reference to democracy being two wolves and a sheep deciding what's for dinner is a remark on the proper application of that word democracy as we apply it as the kind of government that we are. CNN's application of the term democracy, describing how we vote, is an improper understanding of the kind of government that we are. You see, the kind of government that we are is separate from how we elect officials, representatives, people in government. We elect people to serve, to represent us in government by majority vote, for the most part. The majority of our representatives are not appointed by some other office, nor do they achieve that position via hereditary. So our people in government are voted on by majority rule. That's how we select people in government. That's not the kind of government that we are. As Mike Johnson specifically and accurately says, we are a constitutional republic, not a democracy as the kind of government that we are. You see, John Adams wrote in our history about constitutional republics, in which he said very accurately that in a letter on the 17th of December, 1814, that democracy is more pernicious than any other kind of government, more pernicious than a monarchy, more pernicious than a dictatorship. He says it's not as durable as an aristocracy or a monarchy because, you see, democracies, as James Madison would say in another writing, have a tendency to crash and burn very quickly because, you see, what democracies are, as Adams is talking, what democracies are, as James Madison is talking, democracy in the context of which Johnson is saying we are not a democracy, is describing the kind of government we are, not how we elect people. We are not a kind of government where laws are created through majority rule. See, that's the distinction. It's not how we elect people that defines what kind of government we are. It's how we create laws that defines what kind of government we are. We do not create laws by majority rule. These are the kinds of democracy that John Adams is talking about here. The kind that crash and burns quickly. The kind that immediately runs to despotism. He says, bloodier these democracies are than monarchies and aristocracies. Why? Because when laws are created through majority rule, then the majority can wield the power of government vindictively, greedily, violently. When a government is a democracy, that's how slavery becomes rule of law. So we must remember the distinction. America is not a democracy. We are not a democracy by this description of the kind of government that we are, because our laws are not created through majority rule. And you don't want laws created by a majority rule. Most people have this idea in their head that majority means the greatest population. I mean, even today, as we watch minority ideologies rule over America through public discord and the court of public opinion, you must realize that the definition of majority is not limited to the most amount of people. Actually, throughout history, the definition of majority is defined by who has the most power. Majority meaning the majority of power, the majority of influence. And today, in America, thanks to our education system, the majority, although a minority, has become those with the neo-Marxist view. Our colleges, our education system, our industrialized education system has been pumping out a factory of neo-Marxist products since the late 1800s, kicking into massive aggressive production of these neo-Marxist ideological brains after World War II. I mean, that's a whole different study, but you have to understand that if America is a democracy by the kind of government she is, not how we elect people, but how we make laws, then we are destined and inevitably going to have neo-Marxist laws because the majority of our power rests in the institutions that are run by neo-Marxists today. And that's why it's so important to understand why America is not a democracy where laws are made by majority rule. America, as Mike Johnson said, is actually a constitutional republic, and that's what's important. But you see, a constitutional republic is a very distinct definition. A constitutional republic describes the kind of government that we are. We are a government created by constitution. A government whose power is limited and defined by a written constitution. We are a constitutional republic. That word constitutional has that word constitutional has the suffix al on the end. That suffix al on the end means to be derived from. Our republic is derived from the written constitution. It is not derived from democracy. It is derived from a limited and defined government created through a written constitution. We are not a constitutional democracy. We are a constitutional republic because laws are made not through majority rule, but through Republican style, not the party, the style of government, Republican style of representation, meaning laws are created in the opposite of a democracy. They are created where a minority group has the same authority in government as a majority group. And if we're going to sort of boil it down into a simple distinction, democracy as a form of government is majority rule. That's what Johnson said. We don't want majority rule. Of course not. A constitutional republic is where government is created in a limited and defined way, and laws are created through equal representation. You see, equal representation. You wonder, why wouldn't those in our minority groups of people in America be the strongest advocates for a constitutional republic? Our minority groups in America rely on the fact that we are a constitutional republic to prevent laws being created to enslave them. Unfortunately, once again, the neo-Marxist education system that we've had for over 100 years has brainwashed even our minority groups into advocating for a style of government that will always eventually enslave them. Pendulum swing in government, that is a fact. And the government that we have today that is defending this group will be a government that we have tomorrow persecuting that same group. You see, that pendulum is why our founders knew that we had to have a constitutional republic, not because of some biblical admonition. Now, I am a Christian, but I really get annoyed when Christians talk about the Constitution in a theocratic way. Our Constitution is not secular in its extreme, the way the atheist and agnostic group says, but it's not theocratic either in the way that many of the Christians and religious strongholds put forward. Our Constitution recognizes, as our Declaration of Independence declares, that our rights come from God, that our rights are possessed by every human being equally. Equal access to rights is a principle that is only found in a biblical worldview. But you see, that's not because we're a theocracy. That's because our founders understood that by the nature of our creation, government had to be limited and defined. Because human nature is always the same. And those in government, by human nature, will always want to rule. Whether they're benevolent or malignant, make no mistake, they always want to rule. And our founders knew about the guaranteed pendulum of government, the power that you put into the hands of the benevolent ruler will be the same power that exists in the hand of the malignant one. Our constitutional republic was designed to guarantee that both the benevolent and the malignant had a very limited and defined authority, and that the people always had an ultimate check and balance. So I'm going to close out this section with a short video that I have made. It's actually on YouTube, that will teach you very succinctly why we're not a democracy. When we come back from that video, I am going to talk to you about this video from California, where the agents from the California government search and seize someone's home because of California's rules on gun registration. Stick with us. You don't want to miss this next section. It is common to hear America called a democracy. However, America is not a democracy. She is a constitutional republic. Some may claim there is really no difference between a democracy and a republic, but that is a false claim. Maybe if Americans understood the difference between a democracy and a republic, people wouldn't just roll their eyes and shake their heads when they hear politicians, talking heads, and professors call us a democracy. Americans would be upset. The founders of America established America as a constitutional republic for one main reason. Their ultimate goal was to preserve liberty for future generations. They knew from their own personal experience that a kingdom style of government doesn't preserve liberty. When you live in a kingdom, the king holds all the power, and he's the one to hand out the rights and the privileges to the people as he sees fit. When the king has the power to give, he also holds the power to take away. When you live in a kingdom, you only get what you have. You only keep what you have with permission of the king. A constitutional republic is the opposite of a kingdom. In a constitutional republic, the people have the authority to give government power, and they have the authority to take it away. The Declaration says, "And whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish."
Because in a constitutional republic, laws are made with the consent of the people through their representatives, who are constrained by the rule of law. The people are to have equal representation, an equal voice. It is this principle of equality and equal representation that makes a constitutional republic the only government that can secure liberty. But where does a democracy fit in this analysis? You've got your kingdom over here. You've got your republic, or your constitutional republic over here. Where does the democracy fit? Is it similar to a republic? Is it somewhere in between a republic and a kingdom? In truth, there is really not much difference at all between a democracy and a kingdom. The only real difference between a democracy and a kingdom is how many people rule over you. In a kingdom, specifically a monarchy, the rule comes from one person. In a democracy, the rule comes from those who hold the most power. In spite of what we are taught, a democracy does not operate upon the principles of equality. Quite the opposite. A democracy operates with mob rule. Those who have the most power, or those who have the most people in their group, are the rulers over the minority. In a democracy, those in a majority hold all the power. And they hand out all the privileges and the rights to those in the minority. So if you live in a democracy and you are in a minority group, you have nothing unless the majority says you can have it. And you only keep what you have as long as the majority says you can keep it. If America were a democracy, Rosa Parks would still be sitting in the back of the bus or in a jail cell. In a democracy, minority groups never have a society-changing voice. That only happens when the government acknowledges that all men are created equal, and all laws must be created to ensure equal liberty and justice under those laws. A kingdom does not preserve liberty. It only preserves the power of the king and the servitude of the people. And a democracy does not preserve liberty. It only ensures that there will always be masters and always be slaves. Only in a constitutional republic is the government the subject of the people, and all people, even those in minority groups, can have a society-changing voice. If we want to make America great again, we must know who we are and where we came from. We must ensure that government knows its proper place, and the people know that their liberty and the liberty of our future is what we must secure. We must get educated to get liberated.
Well, thank you for watching that. Remember, go to libertyfirstsociety.com and catch our constitutional training. Speaking of our constitutional training, we actually teach sheriffs, deputies, and police officers the role and duty of their constitutional oath, the role and duty that they have to the people. Those of you who have been watching us for some time now, you know that we have a documentary called The Sheriff, documentary nominated for 3 awards at the Content Film Festival in Fort Worth, Texas. Now, I want to mention to you that we have a new way to partner with us. As we go through this next search and seizure video, I want to tell you that if these officers who are searching this home had our training, it's very unlikely that they would have actually carried out this kind of search and seizure, because the deputies, the sheriffs, the police officers that have had our training also have the courage to stand up and say, I can't do this. This is a violation of our Constitution. This is a violation of our rights. Now, when we travel the country, and we've been doing this for 13 and a half years, I've taught representatives of police offices, officers, sheriffs, and their deputies from all 50 states. And when we travel and teach the proper constitutional role and perspective of our sheriff, of our oath takers, we don't charge the sheriffs and the police chiefs a dime for that. So if we fly to Oregon or we fly to California, which we have, we fly to Vermont, when we fly to Michigan, which we have, to teach the sheriffs in Idaho, which we have, all of that comes out of our own pocket. Now, I know that you agree. Raise your hand. Is it essential for our sheriffs and our deputies to understand the Constitution? You absolutely agree with that. So when you do, partner with us, buy our new coffee. Okay. So we have this new line of coffee that you're sponsoring the teaching of the sheriffs when you purchase this line of coffee. It is great. We're getting great and massive feedback about our coffee. We have a medium roast and we have a dark roast, and they come from Colombia and Sumatra. They are amazing coffees that we get from a Patriot Coffee Company. So from its creation here in America to its to our stores to your front door, Patriot driven, Patriot funded. You can partner with us and help us offset the cost to teach our sheriffs, our deputies, and our police officers. What could be more important than teaching our deputies, our sheriffs, and our police officers what they're not learning in the academies? How to defend your rights. So we have, like I said, the documentary, and we also have the coffee. Go watch the documentary, learn how important it is. Then go to chrisannhall.com and purchase your coffee today and help us get to the next sheriff, the next deputy, and the next police officer. Now, I hope you understand that this is important when we watch this next video. Christian is going to play this video. And just to give you some context, this is happening, this particular video is being recorded in California. Now, before you roll your eyes and say, oh, well, that's California, okay? Don't roll your eyes. It's not just happening in California. It may not be happening in the degree that it's happening in other places, or in California as it is in other places, but it is happening in other places. So go ahead, Christian, play that video, and let's watch and see what's happening to our neighbors.
Why are my daughters not with my wife right now?
Because they're wiping down the road.
Okay, so shouldn't she go back up now?
Hey, you guys can go up for me.
Yes, I said I'm going to sit down three times. I provided. I was walking towards the chair.
Can you bring me the walk down, please?
Okay, I already said I'm not going to say anything. You guys. Okay. Have what you're going to do.
I'm letting you know you do have a search warrant. As you can see, it's very funny.
I don't consent to any search.
Part of the search warrant is search of any place where the gun could be at. Okay, so that could be any crevice, any box, anywhere. Instead of us going digging through everything, you can direct us to exactly where it is. We're just looking for this one firearm. That's it. We're not looking for anything else.
So we found what we're going to try to inspect. It is not an assault weapon. So we're going to leave it. We're going to forward, or your application is going to be approved. You understand?
I'm not saying anything.
Okay. So we're going to leave this here. We're going to give you a copy of the property receipt, or sorry, of the search warrant, and we're done. All right. Do you have any other questions? Do you have any questions?
I'm not talking.
Well, he's trying to give you an opportunity. If you build that law, you're going to be in trouble. So I know you probably know the law.
I was just talking to a lawyer.
Okay.
Sir, I appreciate law enforcement, but please just...
So we're just trying to help you out and make sure you're in compliance with it.
In case you missed that, the cop that came out of the...
Back to me. Look, guys, this is what's going to happen if we do not understand our rights, if we do not understand that we are a constitutional republic, as we mentioned in the first segment of this show, that our governments are constrained by the constitutions, that our rights are guaranteed to be protected and secured by those in government, that our rights cannot be dissolved based on majority rule and majority desire. Because a minority of people have a majority of volume doesn't suspend your rights. Now, the Fourth Amendment in the U.S. Constitution, we all know that. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. No warrant shall issue, but based upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. The Second Amendment in the U.S. Constitution. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of the free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. We see that. We know that. But this is happening in California. And the people of California, as well as you, in whatever state you may be in, must know your state constitution as well. Because just as they take an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States, they take an oath to support and defend the Constitution of their state. Every single state in the Union has a declaration or Bill of Rights as a part of their constitution. California says in Article 1, Section 1, their Declaration of Rights, all people are by nature free and independent and have inalienable rights. Rights that cannot be severed from them. Among these are enjoying and defending life and liberty, acquiring, possessing, and protecting property, and pursuing and obtaining safety, happiness, and privacy. The people of California. Article 1, Section 1, are declared to have an inalienable right to defend life and liberty and property. They are guaranteed to have an inalienable right to obtain safety, happiness, and privacy. Right there. In the text of their constitution. If you go to section 13 of the California Constitution, you see the same thing that the Fourth Amendment says in the U.S. Constitution, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable seizures and searches may not be violated, and a warrant may not issue except on probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, particularly the describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Then go down to section 19. I don't have a slide for this, but I'll read it to you. It's very important. Private property may be taken or damaged for public use, and only when just compensation ascertained by a jury, unless waived, has first been paid to the owner. If they're going to come to your house and seize your stuff, you've committed no crime. They can't take your stuff unless they're going to pay it first. Section 19. This is still all in just the Declaration of Rights. Go to section 24. The rights guaranteed by this Constitution are not dependent on those guaranteed by the United States Constitution. Do you know what that section says right there? That section means that whether it's guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution or not, it is guaranteed by the California Constitution. Well, look at this. This Declaration of Rights may not be construed to impair or deny others retained by the people. Somebody's going to tell you, yes, but there's no specific enumeration in the California Constitution to secure their right to keep and bear arms. Baloney! It's right there in Section 24. Their right to keep and bear arms is a derivative of Article 1, Section 1, the inalienable right that is guaranteed to them for their safety, to secure their safety, to secure their privacy, to secure their life, their liberty, and their property. Combine that in its context, in its meaning, to Section 24, which says, just because it's not written down doesn't mean it's not a guaranteed right of the people. Let me read it to you again. The rights guaranteed by this Constitution are not dependent on those guaranteed by the United States Constitution, and this Declaration of Rights may not be construed to impair or deny others retained by the people. If you do not have a right to keep and bear arms, you do not have an inalienable right to secure your life, your liberty, and your property. You do not. If you do not have a right to keep and bear arms, you are enslaved. And the government owns you because they're the ones that are facilitating the protection of your life, your liberty, and your property. So we must understand that as a constitutional republic, as the state of California is a constitutional republic, the written language of this Constitution doesn't simply guide, doesn't simply suggest, it constrains the California government to the purpose of securing the rights of the people. Their inalienable right to secure for themselves their life, their liberty, and their property. And when you listen to that video, you hear these officers who seem to be woefully, desperately ignorant of what their real job actually is, not to enforce the law, but by oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the state of California, threatening these people. I mean, if the warrant is to secure this gun, this firearm, what exactly is the description of the firearm? Because the firearm must be specifically right there by section 20, what was it? 13, section 13 must be specifically identified, which means those officers can only look in places where that specifically identified item can be found. They can't look in the freezer. They can't look in little boxes, like that officer says, we'll look all over the place. No, you cannot do that. That is a violation of Article 13, of Article 1, Section 13 of the California Constitution. And I submit to you the warrant itself, even if in compliance with Section 13, is in violation of the California Constitution because the law that authorizes that search is a violation of the California Constitution. But unless the people know their Constitution and they know that they are a constitutional republic where the government is confined and constrained by that written document, then government will walk all over people like these officers are trying to walk all over these people. Where exactly in that warrant is it the right of the government to take those children away from their parents, even for a brief search? Where's the probable cause for that? You see, constitutions do not constrain government, people do. But only people with a knowledge of their constitution can constrain their government. And the knowledge of the authority that they have through their constitution to constrain their government. Otherwise, we feel like victims. We feel powerless. And then you get officers that mock you. Well, I'm sure you're calling your lawyer. Yeah, I'm on the phone with my lawyer. You get legislators that think it's all right for them to make you register your firearms. You get legislators and governors who think it's all right to even tell you you can't have them. To constrain you instead of you being constrained. You see, the California Constitution declares emphatically the right of the people to due process. If you've not committed a crime, how is it that the government can seize your firearms? How can merely possessing the means by which to secure your life, your liberty, and your property be a violation of the law. Only when you have a government that is not constrained by its purpose to secure the rights of the people as written in their constitution. They'll try to separate you. They'll try to bully you. They'll try to deceive you. Every element of that in this video. We'll search here, we'll search there. We've pulled your family away from there. Where's your right to do this? You have no right to do this. You have to know. You don't give permission for any search, even if there is a warrant. Repeat after me. You may search according to your warrant, but you will never have my permission to search. You may search pursuant to your warrant, but you will never have my permission to search. You see, they're trying to bully him into giving permission because they know once they give, he has permission given to them, they can search and seize anything they see and anything they want. And if the warrant is bad, you can have the evidence thrown out. But if you give permission and the warrant is bad, it doesn't matter. Everything's coming in because you gave permission. So remember, go to libertyfirstsociety.com and take our class on the right to be secure in your person's houses, papers, and effects, on the right to property. Take our class on James Madison's definition of property and watch your mind get blown. Libertyfirstsociety.com. We are really the only constitutional source of its kind. Learn at your own pace. Simple it enough, your sixth grader can get it. But detailed and deep enough that a Supreme Court justice from the state of Texas told me he learned more from me, from my class, in an hour than he did in his entire education. Now, can you see why it's important for these people to know this? These officers, these deputies, they have to know that they have not only a right to say, I'm not enforcing this warrant, it's a violation of the Constitution. It's a violation of these people's rights. They have a duty to say so. Christian, can you play a trailer from the sheriff? All right. So to end this section, I'm going to have Christian play one of our trailers from our documentary, The Sheriff. And while you're watching this, see if you feel compelled by what you're seeing. Go to chrisanhall.com. And make a coffee purchase and help us teach these sheriffs, because your sheriff is your first and your last line of defense in the securing of your rights. Go ahead, Christian.
A voicemail on the church phone. The voicemail was from the New Mexico State Police, and the officer said that New Hope Revival Church is non-essential and must shut down. I knew I needed to connect with the sheriff. I knew it was the chief law enforcement of the region.
I remembered getting to attend a Chris Ann Hall seminar in Albuquerque. And she had talked about the Shire Reeves.
And I said, listen, I want to know if you'll stand for God rights. And he looked me right in the eyes and he goes, Pastor, I will defend you, even if it means I got to go to jail myself.
Just coffee. Although I have heard other people tell me, not just my opinion, that it's amazing coffee at chrisannhall.com. Christian's been putting up there the little meme for advertisement of the coffee. Go ahead and put it up there again. And we'll just remind you how to get that coffee as we move into section number 3. Now, this section, I want to talk to you about something that we've been talking about for some time now. The government becoming the propaganda tool to be the manipulator of what Americans know, believe, and trust. And I'm grateful for those in government, especially at the federal level, who are exposing these executive agencies for what they really are. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Things are coming to light that we've known were the case, that we should have known was the case for a very long time. I mean, after the declassification of Operation Mockingbird, we should have never trusted the executive agencies again, but here we are. I think it's just, you know, simply a matter of human nature. Why our founders warned us that, you know, government is not designed for your trust. Government is designed to secure your rights, to secure your ability to secure your rights. Trust is not a matter of that. If government was designed to be trusted, we wouldn't have constitutions in writing. If governments were designed to be trusted, we could have a monarchy and be done with it. We could have an aristocracy and never have to worry about who's voting again. We could have a democracy and be just fine. But governments aren't designed to be trusted. Governments are designed to keep our ability to secure our own rights in place. And governments are created, limited, and defined through our written constitutions because we don't trust them. So we recently had a Senate hearing with Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI. Now, Christopher Wray is a piece of work. Okay, guys, at one point in this hearing, Christopher Wray says, I was appointed by Republicans and I'm a lifelong Republican and I'm insulted that you would say that we're controlled by Democrats. You know what? When we get pulled into this idiotic party ideology argument, that's when we know we've lost. Because if you think that our FBI is simply controlled by the Democrats, by Joe Biden. And that's what this is all about. This is Biden's fault. You have not seen the whole picture. We have shows in where JC has talked about the FBI, the origin of the FBI. The FBI has been corrupted from the very beginning. The FBI began corrupted. Go look at the history of the FBI. The FBI was denied authority by Congress. No, we don't want this institution. And then it was funded anyway, through discretionary funding from the president, which, by the way, not to chase that rabbit, is something that we should be highly pressuring our House of Representatives to eliminate, discretionary funding in the executive branch. That is completely and totally unconstitutional. That's taxation without representation, my friends. Discretionary funding. $14 billion into the hands of the president to do with what he pleases? Taxation without representation from its very origin. So let's look at this first video because I want you to get an idea of who Christopher Wray is. I'm playing you this first video from this hearing because I want you to watch very closely. Watch very closely the body language of Christopher Wray. Go ahead, Christian.
The problem I have is I simply cannot trust what the FBI is providing me. And I don't say that with any joy in my heart. That's a travesty. The American people want to believe and have trust in the FBI. We want credibility and integrity restored to your institution. But Director Wray, you have not done that since assuming office. And I could go through a long laundry list of the reasons why that trust has been violated. I don't have it right now. I'm happy to sit down and meet with you and go over these things in detail. But I would say, because they asked me, what can we do to restore trust? Start being transparent. My final point is,
bring it back to me, Christian. Did you see his face? Did you see that smug, arrogant, insolent defiance of being told he can't be trusted? The Oh, man. I saw that and my skin crawled, guys. I'm telling you, that look right there tells you everything you need to know about who Christopher Wray is. Arrogant, insolent, above the law. That's what that look said. Think about who that person is. Now, what's very important when you watch these hearings, like a lawyer would do in a courtroom, you have to be very good at listening. Something that our senators don't possess. You see, they go in there with their scripts of questions, and they have a line of questioning they want to get to in a limited amount of time. And they lose their focus in listening. Now, Senator Kennedy is a listener. He must have been a brilliant litigator. I mean, amazing. I'm in awe of the man. I don't think he would ever run for president, but it would be highly amusing to have him running for president, even if it was just to watch the debates. But I am a contributor for Victory News. Raise your hand if you see me on Victory News. So Victory News is an alternative news source to the Alphabet News companies, where you get not just simply the problems, but the solutions, which I have to humbly say is evidenced by the fact that they have me there regularly there. Twice a week, I'm on Victory News. And Christian's going to play you a clip from the Victory News program today of this Senate hearing. So go ahead, Christian, and play that one right now.
Did the FBI pay Twitter money to moderate content moderation?
I'm not aware of us paying money to moderate content there or anywhere else.
What was the $3 million for that the FBI gave that's been revealed in Twitter files, which has been characterized by those writing the Twitter files as payment for content moderation? Basically, they said Twitter, you know, you guys were meeting with them all the time and you had them taking down so many posts. They said, well, gosh, it's a lot of work. Why don't you pay us? And so you did. You paid them $3 million. Are you aware of the payment?
Well, I'm not aware of that specific payment, but I can tell you that when it comes to payments, going back well over four decades, when we are required by federal law, when a company, like in this instance a provider, goes through expenses to produce information, we're required to reimburse them for those expenses.
Chris Ann, FBI Director for Christopher Wray, says his agency has nothing to do with suppressing free speech over U.S. citizens and Biden's opponents, but social media users say otherwise. It seems like I should be talking about Cuba or North Korea, not the United States. What are your thoughts?
You know, I think what we can do is look at how Christopher Wray responds and listen to what he actually says. I mean, when we watched his interview with the other senator, I can't remember right now who it was, but his face was just arrogant and full of insolence. He has such a disrespect for the institutions of our Congress, shows that he feels he's above the law. Now, Christopher Wray, and this is not an idle word, through the fruit of his words has proven himself to be a liar. But listen to what he says to Rand Paul. He says, when a company creates content for us, we must reimburse them for that content. The next question is, why is Twitter creating content for the FBI that the FBI has to reimburse them for?
Okay, now you just proved you're an attorney. Thank you. The details and what they say,
yes,
it matters.
Content worth $3 million. What exactly is Twitter creating for the federal government to the sum of $3 million? You see, if the FBI, as Wray says, is not controlling speech, they're certainly creating it. They may not be censoring speech, but they are certainly creating propaganda on Twitter to the sum of $3 million. Let me ask you something. Can you get Twitter to write posts for you? Can you pay Twitter to write posts for you? Well, apparently the FBI can pay Twitter $3 million of your dollars to write posts for them. What else would Twitter be creating for them? How does that even work? Look, on my website, is an article saying why media has become a tool of the political complex. I have been talking about this since 2011, actually. I originally wrote this article in 2012. It was republished in 2019. You see, there is a long history of legislation post-World War II that specifically prohibited our government from creating propaganda that would be disseminated against the American people. It was called the Smith-Mundt Act. Now, the Smith-Mundt Act was actually created in 1948. And it passed three key limitations on government. The first and most well-known restriction was a prohibition on domestic dissemination of materials intended for foreign audiences. The restriction was supported by the courts, even in the face of Freedom of Information Act challenges. The Smith-Mundt Act was found in 22 U.S.C. 1461-1A, titled A Ban on Domestic Activities by the United States Information Agency. But you didn't know we had a United States Information Agency, did you? And the law banned domestic activities produced by the United States Information Agency. But the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012 changed all of that. It created loopholes the size of the Grand Canyon in the Smith-Mundt Act that now not only allows, but encourages the United States Information Agency or the FBI or Health and Human Services, or the CDC, or the NIH, any federal agency whatsoever, to take your tax dollars and create simply propaganda to be disseminated to influence and to distort your view on reality. Because that's what propaganda is, right? Propaganda is a tool to influence and control your thoughts to a designed outcome. And in 1946, it was unlawful for the federal government to take your tax dollars and do that. And in 2012, sponsored in the House by a Republican majority, passed by a majority Congress, a Republican majority Congress in 2012, remember, the House and the Senate were both Republican majorities. They overturned that. And now the federal government doesn't have to break the law to use your money to create propaganda to influence and control your thought. They have free access to it. It could be a matter of their budget. So you wonder why the FBI is paying Twitter $3 million of your money to create content? Because our Congress told them they could. Our Congress hands them a check and says, guess what? You're not limited anymore. Now you can make propaganda to manipulate the people. Those of you who've been following us since 2010, when we started, you know that we've been talking about this now for 12 years. 12 years we've been warning about this. I challenge you, go do the math. See how in 2012 the propaganda disseminated to the American people went over the top. I mean, just like, it was like releasing a floodgate. Now so much now, you know, 11 years later, where the American people can no longer discern what is real and what is government-produced propaganda. This is one agency. This is one bill from Twitter, $3 million. How much propaganda can you buy for $3 million? Oh, how much propaganda did you buy with $3 million? You see, we as the people need to stop being spectators of government. Stop being consumers of government. And to start taking control of our government. We are the masters, they are the subject. Remember, we are a constitutional republic. Why does Christopher Wray even exist in that office? Because we've forgotten that we're a constitutional republic, that we are the check and the balance on government, that our constitution is its defining terms. Not whatever a majority of Congress can pass. And that we don't suffer from a Republican majority or from a Democratic majority. We suffer from a neo-Marxist unconstitutional majority. One of my favorite founding fathers, you can learn about him at libertyfirstsociety.com, James Otis Jr., remarked on three kinds of people in government. He said, guilt, malice, or folly. He says, those who employ, do the wrong things in government based on guilt, malice, and folly, it doesn't matter which of the three it is, they are still our foes to liberty. Folly. Folly means they do the wrong thing because they don't know any better. They've been educated on the wrong things. They believe the wrong people. They've become useful tools for the manipulators. Guilt. They know what's right. They just choose to do what's wrong in the spirit of compromise. You know, if I want to get anything done, we got to go along to get along. They do the wrong thing. Guilt with guilt because they know the right thing to do. And then malice, they do the wrong thing because they want, because their motivations are not based on liberty. They're not based on morality. They're not based on any kind of constitutional principle. They're based on personal gain, wealth, average, and political power. Malice. So whether they're ignorant, corrupted by compromise, or just wicked, it really doesn't matter the motivation. The result at the end of the day is exactly the same. So what's our check and balance? What's our solution? I'm glad you asked, because this is not a program just teaching you problems. In each one of these sections, I've shown you the solution. What is the solution? We are. It's not voting. Voting is not the solution. A solution to a problem of this magnitude cannot take place once every 2 years or once every 4 years. It's an everyday thing. Don't be a consumer of government. Don't be a spectator of government. Be government. Be involved in government. No. And you can't do that really effectively unless you actually know what your constitution says. Not just the U.S. Constitution, but the state constitution as well. And I don't want to kick anybody's sacred cow, but the Second Amendment is not your gun ownership permit. If you believe that the Second Amendment is what gives you permission to keep and bear arms, then your right to keep and bear arms doesn't exist. You have a privilege to keep and bear arms based on what the Constitution says. Our Constitution doesn't grant us rights. Our Constitution is written because our rights precede it. Our Constitution is written to secure the rights that existed before the Constitution was written. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. These rights come from the nature of our creation. They don't come from the Constitution. If we don't understand that first and foremost, then you'll never be able to understand what the Constitution says and what it means. And if you don't understand that your state constitution is even better than the U.S. Constitution, why the California Constitution says we're not limited by what the U.S. Constitution says, we're going to secure more rights. We can't be government without wisdom and knowledge. We can't be government if we're just bouncing from political crisis to political crisis. We can't be government if we're just slaves to a political party ideology, if we're emotionally attached to one issue or another. We cannot be government. We can be activists, but we can't be government. And each and every one of us has to be government. We can be activists in government, but the majority of the time, our job is to be government. Well, I don't have time. Well, you know what? Liberty costs something. Life, fortune, sacred honor. If it costs them, it costs us. The benefit they gave us was that it shouldn't cost us as much as it cost them, because they gave us a constitutional republic and not a kingdom. So that brings us to the end of our show today. If you find value in what you've learned today, please partner with us. Go get your education at libertyfirstsociety.com. Partner with us and get your coffee. Help us reach others with this information. We truly, truly appreciate the time you've invested in liberty today by watching this show. And we hope that you will tune in to see us next time. Until then, God bless.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights.
We have a power!
And we've raised a spoiled brat representative government that needs to be taken to the woodshed. Are you satisfied with the government that owns you? There are churches who refuse to allow us to use their facilities to teach.
Unspoken or even sometimes spoken rule that religion and politics don't mix. You wouldn't dare speak out against the government or somehow resist.